Mike agreed to start us with prayer, so Mike's going to order prayer for us.
Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, hallowed be thy name. So grateful and so humbled we are by the opportunity to come together on the first day of this week, as we do every week, to study your word, to learn of it, to apply it to our lives, to be reminded that your standard and your expectations, your great love, your hope, your joy, all the things that you set before us as Christians in this life can be studied and we can be reminded of that. We can be encouraged and uplifted to teach our family, our children, our friends, our co-workers. Just thank you so much for this opportunity, this plan of yours that you bring us together like this on a regular basis in this way. Help us to be active listeners. Help us to apply our hearts and our minds to things that are being said. Be with those that are teaching in other classes as well, and children, and help us to worship you and according to your will later this morning, and partake of communion and remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your Son and what it means to us eternally. Be with Tim today, help him to be able to teach the things to us that he's applied himself to learn, that we can benefit from them. Just thank you for our country, for all those that protect us from harm and are working diligently in our on our behalf to allow us to worship in this way. Be with the leaders especially that are trying to make decisions, that they be more godly decisions, that they consult your word and have it affect the decisions that they make. Help us to always remember that our citizenship is in heaven, and one day we'll be with you. Thanks to the great love and sacrifice of your Son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Okay, for those of you that have regularly been here, let's spend 1 or 2 minutes. Let's remind ourselves Galatians, right? Who's writing Galatians?
Paul.
Who's he writing to?
The church or the Galatians?
One church or a group of people? Yeah, I mean churches, but really a group of people in probably in that southern portion down there. We kind of touched on that to start class. What's the point of Galatians? Why was Galatians written? Yeah, not for us, for them. It was written for us too, but specifically for them. Okay, Judaizing teachers, what does that mean?
Trying to tell them that they still had to be circumcised and some of the requirements of the old law, and Paul's trying to teach them about the freedom of.
Okay, they were trying to tell who?
The Gentiles.
Okay. Gentiles were already baptized or not baptized? It seems to appear that if not all, most of them were, because he talks about leaving and why is this new. So we haven't really talked about that in here, but it does. I mean, why would he be talking about why have you deserted Christ and those things if they hadn't been baptized? Okay, what else? Is Paul happy with these people?
No.
Chapter 1, verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Clarifies that. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Which again, now we're halfway through the book. We're working our way through. Paul has Christ, 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 Christ. All of his conversation has been about Christ. But he starts it with that. Verse 8, but even if we... or we being Paul and his associates, an angel from heaven should preach to your God, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. So what is he saying in that? So now that we're halfway through the arguments, what is he saying in that? Who's to be accursed?
Anyone preaching another gospel.
Anybody. So would that apply to the Judaizers?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. So these people that are trying to tell you otherwise are accursed, right? Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? For am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. What is he talking about there? How would the Gentiles be trying to be approved by man or approved by God?
Doing what man says.
Hey, Solomon.
Going by the law. God, the law demands do this.
They have this new, better way. And he's established that. And if they're listening to something contrary, which is coming from anybody, yes, Judaizers specifically in here, but again, after the Judaizers, after he takes care of the Judaizers, there's going to be people that come. There's people that come in our life and give us contrary things. Who are we trusting? Are we trusting the proper source? Which again, don't forget, the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul goes to much extent to talk about authority, to talk about who he was, who he is now. I think that's part of the reference of the end of verse 10 there. I would not be a servant of Christ. If he kept doing the things he had previously done, once he knew the truth, he would be a servant of man, not a servant of Christ. Okay? Good. What else?
That it's, he recognizes that it's difficult in ways for people too, because even Peter and Barnabas got caught up in the hypocrisy.
Right.
And he had to go and correct them to their face.
Right. I think that's a good point. That's the start of chapter 2. Mm-hmm. He tells about Peter, right? And so, I never know the right word, sympathy or empathy. Which one is it? Mike knows. Is it sympathy and empathy?
Empathy.
Empathy, right? Empathy is when you're, sympathy is I feel sorry for you. Empathy is I understand where you are and this is how you fix it. If not, that's the second it comes to you. Empathy, really, honestly. And again, we've gotten through three different arguments, right? And we're going to continue. And we talked about, you know, he probably could have just stopped at chapter 2 at the end and said, I mean, if the chapter 2 ended, verse 21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ, what? Died for no purpose. Boom. Mic drop out the door. Could have. But now we're sitting in the middle of chapter 3 and chapter 4, about to start chapter 4, and he's, inspired word of God. But it amazes me that he goes to the extent to remove all doubt, right? We're going to continue reading, we're going to continue this morning to look at some things. But if you're in the churches of Galatia, and this letter is read to you, or you read this letter, and you have a true and honest heart, even to the point where we're at right now, only halfway through, can you come to any other conclusion than the one that Paul is trying to present? I don't think so. It's true and honest heart, which again, our theme is prepare our heart and set our heart. And we've talked about Ezra, and it might kind of end the class on Wednesday night with a similar thought. But if our heart is in the right spot to please God and not please man, and you're reading this letter and you're debating circumcision or whether other things may apply too, I don't think there's any other conclusion that you can come to. So, good. Okay. Good. Any other thoughts? Okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Read. Our next two arguments are really, they kind of end in chapter verse 18, but for sake of paragraphs and things like that, we're going to read to verse 20 and pick up those two later. But do yourself 5 minutes. Read Galatians chapter 4. Now, again, remember, Paul is arguing to show people that it's not the Judaizers that have the authority and that their way is not the way. But what's being spoken of? What's the general purpose? How does it relate to our theme? So you have 5 minutes, I will stay out of the way. Galatians 4, 1 through 20. one thing. Tell him one thing about what you're in. I don't care what it is. One thing.
Your son.
Your partner, not me. About 1 minute. And we have it in translations too.
Yes, that's it.
30 seconds. One thing. Okay, I don't have the answers. You guys tell me the answers. But you could talk about who or what is it speaking about. Talk about how does it relate to us. Talk about what's the general purpose, maybe in bigger picture. Again, I like big picture things. But someone share something. No wrong answers.
Verse 16 says, don't kill the messenger.
16 says, don't kill the messenger. Let's see what 16 says. 16 says, I have then become your enemy by I like that. How many times do we feel that way when we're trying to show and teach and hey, and we talk about that. Now, I think there's a proper, I don't think we should walk up to someone. I'm not your enemy. I'm going to tell you the truth. But he is calling them out for that, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Because he was held in high regards, and now he feels like, well, wait a second. Am I now the enemy that I'm talking about the things? Good. Kathy.
It talks about if you're a child of God through faith in Jesus, then you are also an heir to all his riches.
Okay. What are those riches? Yes, there's a lot, but specifically for us, eternal life, right? Now, I do think, I don't want to get too deep into this, but he talks about sons and slaves, okay? What's the difference? I asked you guys to talk about sons and slaves in the Roman Empire, blah, 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 but did anybody have a chance to look at that? How different were children and slaves in that culture? They weren't a whole lot different. There was a lot of similarities between children and slaves. Mike, you had half of a thought that you...
I had half a thought?
Well, you were like... I want you to finish that thought.
Are you reading my mind? Well, I mean, if you go back to chapter 3, you know, verse 26, your sons through faith in Christ Jesus, and you were baptized, etc., neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free. If you're Christ, verse 29, then you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. Now, I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. They're both under the protection of the master, the pedagogue, the tutor in the house, or that's raising the child or whatever to be the same as a slave. They're under the master. But, verse 2, but as under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father, which that's a reference to the law. The law was that tutor, that pedagogue that led us to Christ. Even so, verse 3, when we are children, we are in the bondage and yellows. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, etc. So now we are no longer children. We are heirs, adults in this regard, heirs according to the promise.
Yeah, Mike just said a good thought there, adults. When we're children, when does the inheritance come?
When you're
when the time is right. Yeah? When the whoever is ahead of you decides. When we're baptized, we are adopted by God. We are children of God. Do we have immediate access to that inheritance?
Yes.
Yes. Now, we can read other verses to talk about milk and solid food and things like that. We still may be babes in knowledge and understanding and things like that, but we immediately have access to that inheritance. There's no waiting period. So we're adopted as adults, which Mike said, and I always think that's a good thing to think about. We're adopted as adults. Now, again, we need to further and continue and grow and things like that. But as far as the eternal life inheritance goes, it's there. Kathy?
Yeah, when you're a child, you have to wait to maturity to inherit.
Right.
So.
Good, good. Dawn, you had your hand up.
Verse 11 says that, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. You're starting to feel Paul's sorrow for them, that he is just like struggling and struggling to bring this to them. He's almost feeling defeated.
Galatians, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah.
You're breaking my heart. Why did I come down there and labor if this is what it was for? Which, again, that's why we looked at the chapter 2, the last verse, says Paul has now said, okay, if you're going to follow it, Christ died in vain. And also, by the way, you're breaking my heart because I have labored in vain. Everything that I've tried to teach you, everything that I've tried to show you was to no avail. Why, though? What were the Galatians doing? Not holding to the superior gospel. Because when he says, there isn't, he says, if you're following the gospel, which by the way, there isn't one, but if you are.
Which, you know, the Galatian church, also the churches, if they accepted this, what the Judaizing Christians were doing, it could have spread a lot further out instead of just that Galatian region.
For sure. For sure. Good. What else? I know you guys shared some other things. Why did that verse come up with you guys' discussion?
Oh.
They read Hebrews 9:16.
Yeah, Hebrews 9:16 says, for where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. So we know that the new covenant did not come into effect until Jesus' death. But that ties in with what he's trying to tell them and this idea of guardianship. You know, many times you're under a guardian until you become of age or you have the maturity to accept the responsibility of having that inheritance. But with Jesus dead, they have access to all of this.
Right.
And they have this new covenant.
Good. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 5 or 1:5, Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Verse 4, I think it is. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, did Christ randomly come when he, did he arrive randomly?
No.
No. It was at the proper time and at the fullness of time. To what? To... there's that word that we've seen a bunch of it. Redeem. Christ was the final, the only sacrifice, I guess, that could have been made that was the redeeming nature to forgive, to wipe the slate clean, to justify. And Paul's saying that. Okay? Good. What else? Yeah.
I think also where he goes further in that verse to say to redeem those who are under the law, he's again made the point that that the Jews needed the salvation too.
That says were, doesn't it? They were under the law. So those who were under the law are taken care of. But again, you guys aren't under that law anymore. It's a new law. I like that. Good. Thank you. What else?
On Wednesday, we talked a lot about the law and its, you know, perfect, its completeness and so many things that it had during its time. And yet in the New Testament, Paul continues to refer to it as, in verse 9, he says here, but now after you have known God, or rather known by God, the New King James says, how it is that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage. You observe days and months, seasons and years. And in verse 11, like you said, I'm afraid for you, lest you've labored to you in vain. And Paul continues to paint the old law in a incomplete, in the sense of being able to save them, nature. I mean, it was weak and beggarly. Why would you go back to that? Why are you listening to these people? And he says in verse 17, verse 16, have you ever become envy because of 22? They, these Judaizing teachers, zealously court you, but for no good. They want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. They had a purpose for teaching these things, but it wasn't the betterment of your soul before God. So that's, you know, again, another challenge to the law.
And again, I can't help but always try to simplify it down and think about me. And Paul is clearly saying what they're teaching is wrong, period. But was it making people change their mind? Was it, were people following what the Judaizers were teaching? Absolutely. So, okay, 2022. Can I see things and learn about things and they're absolutely wrong? Can I not realize it? Mm-hmm. You think the Gentiles realized what they were doing? Maybe, maybe not, but maybe the poll was to follow Judaizers more. I don't know. But they were clearly following something that was 100% wrong.
Well, social pressure was what took Peter down. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that happens to us every day.
Yes. And we looked at that. Paul says that, right? And the only reason, which again, did Paul give an example of it? Yes. So again, I think about myself in 2022, and it just reminds me that I need to check my source, and I need to check my understanding, and I need to check the things that are going on, because I can also have things that come up that, man, that sounds pretty good to me. And we're all that we talked about, I see some hands, we talked about, you know, if we start here, if the Gentiles, if there was just one little thing that they're like, oh, that's not that big a deal. But then you fast forward a year or two. Remember, we talked about this probably 3 years-ish after things that went on. You don't realize how far away you are from where you started, because it was little decisions along the way that got us there. Okay, there was a bunch of things. Solomon, I think. Yeah, Solomon.
So I think we have to be very careful how we look at the law. I don't think the problem was with the law, because in Hebrews 8 verse 8, he said, but God found fault with the people and said, so in some translation we said he found fault with them.
Mm-hmm.
The them is not the law.
Mm-hmm.
It is the people.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem was with the people, not the law. Yeah, so the law was perfect. Yeah.
100%. And again, we've talked about that. Paul isn't necessarily calling out the law, is he? What he's saying is now there's a superior gospel to the law. Yes, the law had its time and had its place. But when the fullness of time came and Christ died, that's the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died. Good. Judy?
But he's also talking to the Gentiles at the same time. So where he's talking about you're celebrating, you're going back to days and seasons and that, he could be talking to both groups of what they came out of, that they're all following the traditions that they were in prior. So not just those from the Jews, but they were following other gods and traditions and things.
Right. And again, that bondage and those things like that. Again, if we're going back to the old law, it's a more legalistic system. The new way is more mature. It's a step forward. Kathy?
No, I agree with what Solomon was saying. If the law was bad, it wouldn't have been given in the first place.
Yeah.
Agreed. So you have to think about that. There's just a better way now that they weren't under slaves.
Yeah. And, again, eventually we're going to get to Romans and things like that, but it's better. The new covenant is better, period. Okay, anything else? Glance at my notes here real quick.
You know, I'm just not sure how we reconcile those two things. You know, in my mind, I definitely understand that the law served a purpose. The law was by God designed for the purpose. Paul says in Galatians that it was a tutor leads to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There are just so many places in the New Testament where, like Acts chapter 13, verse 38 says, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, you know, David, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So what does it mean that you cannot be justified by the law of Moses? If it said that, you know, I mean, the law was definitely had a very important purpose for God. But Paul continues to remind us that you could not be justified from the law. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. For on the one hand, there is annulling of the former commandment, the law, because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, which we draw near to God. So I guess I struggle with the fact that you know, the New Testament continues to say, and Paul is talking about it being weak and beggarly. I mean, the fact is that it was the people, yes. Could somebody fulfill the law? Yes, Christ did. Christ did. But throughout, it's continually referred to as not sufficient to take away sin. And sin is what needed to be put down by Christ. So it was a tutor. It was a purpose. It was in its place and time at a function. But we can't also, on the other hand, not say that it was inferior to the new covenant, because it just couldn't take away sin. We have to make sure we keep both those things in mind.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think anybody's saying that. Maybe we have a problem calling the old law imperfect, because then we feel like what God put forth is imperfect.
But that's what the New Testament
says. I know. And what is the difference between the old law and the new law? Right here.
Right.
Isn't it?
Right.
The old law did not redeem.
Right.
It did not. The redeeming nature came when the fullness of time had come. God sent forth his son so that we might receive adoption. So when did we receive adoption? Christ's death and our baptism into that. So I agree. Kathy?
I think we discussed it on Wednesday too. Even if the person under the old law followed it and obeyed it correctly, and then he passed away before the new law came in effect, he would be under God's judgment. And that's how it stands.
Correct.
Right.
Good.
Solomon? So look at it this way. If you go to go bail somebody, that is a case,
mm-hmm.
you're going to pay this amount to set a person free, not free forever, but free until the case is looked at.
Right.
So they pay the money, there will be a perfect, and it's not like the law, when we say perfect, it's not like the law was perfect, but the law was killing people. If I do something and somebody gets in or whatever, I get killed, I don't have a chance to repent. So it's not because the law, there's something wrong with the law. It's the people, there's no chance for the people to repent. If I do something today and I change my mind, I'm already dead, they stole me, I'm gone. So I don't have a chance to repent. So the problem was with the people. The law was perfect. But then, would you be able to stand toe-to-toe with God? I've been able to obey all your law, therefore, I'm entitled for salvation. No, it's impossible. You cannot do that. So if you are able to obey the whole law, it's because God is giving you a free ticket. It's not because I've done everything. You cannot do that with God.
Right.
So the law was just, how do I say that? The law was just like we're on a borrowed time until Christ comes. So I'm going to give you this, even though the law is perfect, you guys cannot obey my law 100%. Because once you obey that law 100%, you are telling God, salvation is mine. You can't deny me. And that is impossible. You cannot, I mean, you are human. So the law was perfect. It's the problem with the people, that people don't have a chance to repent.
One of the purposes of the old law was to guide, to help us understand why we need a redeemer, right? So why do we need a redeemer? Because can we keep the old law perfectly?
No.
Who's the only person that kept the old law perfectly?
Christ.
God on earth. So if that's the only person that can do it, so I don't think I did. I think all of that's well said. So but at some point, Paul is saying, don't go back to the old law.
That was a problem.
Right.
That that argument was so strong in them that they can't possibly grasp the fact that they have to put away circumcision. They have to put away these other things. And that's what Paul is saying.
Yes.
Comparatively speaking, its ability to save you is weak and beggarly. And it cannot do that.
Yes.
This is why you have to take the next step.
Yes. And so it's too much in the New Testament to not say, okay. And again, I don't know that Paul's saying that the old law was imperfect, but why is it weak? Because we have a better way. It's not that there was no way in the old law. There's a better way now. It's Christ.
And you're going back to it.
Right.
Trying to.
Matt.
I just feel like Paul had to make his point, and I feel like, you know, putting myself in trying to speak to all these people who don't believe me, I feel like the way that he had to speak about the old law and the way that the terminology that he uses is to try and get them to move their hearts into accepting the new way of life.
That's a good point. I mean, again, heart.
He may not be saying that it's, you know, necessarily imperfect, but I feel like the terminology he's needed to use to try and move their hearts is...
Which, again, I think is interesting today, because how many of us are going to go back to the old law right now? So that part of the conversation is kind of like, because we're so far removed from it, and we're so far after Christ's death that it wouldn't even... But again, put yourself in their shoes and try to understand where Paul's coming from when he's putting forth that. There was another hand. Go ahead, Jim.
Verse 20 just substantiates what was just mentioned. It says, if I was with you, I wouldn't have to have this tone. I wouldn't have to be this strong about it.
Yeah, you know what I thought about when I read that like a while ago, and now I read it back. Text messages. Can you always read, Angie, I forget what it was about, but Angie texted me 2 days ago and I fired back with the text. Like, she said, whoa, wait a second, that's not what I meant. And I was like, oh, how can you get tone in text messages? No, but when you're reading it, do you interpret tone?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so when you're reading Galatians, is there any doubt Paul's tone? I don't think so. It's pretty, like, okay, maybe chapter one, like, yeah, but by the time you get down to chapter four, okay, Paul's pretty upset with us, and we probably should know better. But yeah, good. Good point. And there was no. Okay, Paul.
It just shows that excuse me, man needs has needed some type of structure, some type of rules, some type of thing to keep him moving along. Basically, God did it for them to follow him, and it just shows that. We just need structure. God and Jesus gave us, and now they gave us the word and the scriptures and everything to keep our structure written down all the time where we can see it and stuff.
Good. Verse 12. Brothers, I entreat you because as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know, it was because of... You guys already said this, but the tone down here, again, what's kind of the, what, give it away in asking the question. What's he trying to appeal to here? Maybe I can ask it that way.
He's kind of pleading with them.
Yeah.
It's more of an emotional pleading with them on a personal level because he knew them personally and had experienced some personal things with them.
I agree. I think that's right on. And I think, again, as someone comes to me to correct me, or if I go to someone to correct them, big picture idea. This is a more of a, hey, this is what the law had to do about that. This is more of a personal thing. That's the fourth different way in chapter 3 and chapter 4. That Paul has tried to present, pretty much his argument changed in chapter 3 and chapter 4? Or is he just trying to look at it from different angles? I think he's just trying to look at it from different angles. And I can't help but, again, try to make application in my own life. And if I'm trying to teach, if I'm trying to show, if I'm trying to help, And I go and I give it one effort, one way, one situation, and it's not received. Okay, whatever. Or can I step back, self-reflect, and say, man, maybe there's another way that we can study. Maybe there's another way. And I don't know. Maybe that's going too far. But again, I have it on the next slide here. Personal argument was in 1 to 5 of chapter 3. We got to the scriptural argument. That's when he went back to the Old Testament and talked about the Old Testament, or the Old Law. Logical argument. That was that conversation, reasoned with the readers, the basics of what a covenant was. That's when he said, hey, if we made a covenant in real, there would be no way to change it. Well, now there's been this covenant made. There's no way to change it. 1 through 11 is more of a historical argument. So he explained the place of the law in the history. That's that son and slave situation, right? And then 12 through 18, it's kind of like a sentimental thing. It's like you said, it's like, come on, guys. If for nothing else, remember who I am and trust in who I am and things like that. And I just think, again, as I step back in 2022 and I try to teach and I try to preach, again, there's two more. Is that five? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's one more that we're going to get to at the end of the chapter. But it's just, again, same argument, same trying to show the Gentiles that the old law is not the way anymore. But a lot of different ways to look at it. So I just find that interesting. And I think about it today and I'm like, man, there's, have I done enough? In a given situation, have I done enough? Is there more that I can do? Is there another way that I can look at it? And personal relationships, right? Did Paul have a personal relationship with these people? He had to. Bodily ailment, I don't know what that is. You know, you can tell me. He had something going on, but I do think it's interesting. He had something going on, but what was still utmost importance to him? While he was there to preach the gospel, right? And again, maybe that's a big picture idea, but don't let things get in the way of our ability to teach and to preach the gospel, because it's too easy to say, I can't do it anymore or things like that. So anyways, just random things. We got 4 minutes. Let me see what I have here. Anybody have any 4 minute? Who did? Kathy, I'll give you a second. Who? Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 2, chapter 1. Who is the focus on Paul? Who is he trying to put the focus on? Christ and our Heavenly Father. It's not about Paul. It's about the message, right? It's about the fact that our Father loved us and sent Christ so that we all, remember, we've done a lot of study in Colossians and in Ephesians about there's no separation between Jew and Gentile. We all have access to the very same redemption. Kathy?
I like verse 18. It says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. So when he's before him, it's easy for them to get, eager about it and excited, but he also cared for them when he wasn't there. Be just as zealous for it when I am not with you.
I agree. I like this. These are two lines I stole from one of the books I've been reading, but it kind of goes up. It says, Paul told them the truth, Judaizers told them lies. Paul sought to glorify Christ, but Judaizers glorified themselves and their converts. That's a pretty good summation of a lot of things, Paul.
Yeah, you ask how it goes with our theme. Paul was pretty close to begging them to set their hearts in the direction of Christ and to forget the past and everything. And that's what our theme is to set and prepare your heart, set your heart.
Yeah, good. Another sentence from that same book. A true servant of God does not use people to build up himself or his work. He ministers in love to help people know Christ better and glorify him. Paul is trying to get the Galatians to know Christ better. Period.
And it hurts his heart that they're not.
Which, how many of us, you're studying, and you think you have it, and then at the Rich Young Ruler, we read that story, right? You think you've got it, and then they turn. It hurts, and you could hear that, or you could read that. You almost feel it in Paul's words there at the end of that section. Good. Okay. I think we got 1 minute if you got a closing thought. So on Wednesday, we're going to work through the questions that I always have. And then it's to the end of the chapter. So we probably will get to chapter 4, 21 to 31, if you want to read ahead for Wednesday. I have some good questions. I may find some more questions before Wednesday. We'll see what happens. But just some really good stuff. And again, theme for the year, set and prepare our heart. I think that's the talk of the Galatians, or the those that were trying to hold to the what the Judaizers were saying. And Paul is saying, no, go back to the source. Go back to the things that I taught you. If anyone has something contrary to what we have told you, not right. It's not. It's good. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, no, they're too much longer.